Enchanted Sky Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thanks for joining me again this week on Code 3. You know, for many years, the Firefighters Brotherhood really was a brotherhood. Women weren't welcome in firehouses. That's changed now, of course. Last week, we talked with Chief Mary Camelli, who worked her way up from firefighter to the chief at Mesa Fire and Medical Department. And Phoenix Fire also has a female chief. But just 4% of Phoenix firefighters are women. The department is trying to change that. Here to discuss what they're doing is Phoenix Fire Captain Rita Bigler. Welcome to Code 3.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been doing this for about 16 years now. Was there resistance when you became a firefighter?
I would say there wasn't resistance. I think it was kind of few and far between that you heard of a woman being a firefighter, and even in my own family and in close friends, they were surprised, very curious as to why it is I wanted to do that. However, I think it's a common thing that firefighters are looked at as heroes, and so they could see it for what it was in that respect. So I would say I didn't get a lot of resistance from those around me, but they definitely were very curious and followed me closely as I joined the fire service.
Now, today's women, do they have it easier than you because of people like you who've been doing this for a while?
I would say so. I would say that even those that came before me, it was more difficult for them. The situations and stations, things weren't set up for both genders. And so when I got on, it was, 2001, and it's much different than it is now. And I think now those females, ladies that are trying to be hired and enter the fire service do have it better. Things are situated better. Our environments allow for women in the stations and on the trucks.
There's been for years a big deal made about women's lesser upper body strength. How much of an issue is that really?
I don't really think it's a huge focus. What I think we're finding out, and this is through our mentorship group, is that it's really how to work smarter, not harder. But that applies to both male and female. And so as a female, I think athletes make really good firefighters. And that is myself. And so when I realize what my weaker points might be, I just go and work on them, and I figure out the skills and how I might need to do it differently. Just as somebody, whether it was male or female, if they were a shorter person, they would also have to find out a different technique. So it's just a different way we have to work and train.
Well, I'll go along with that. I spoke with a female firefighter a while back who said we don't all have to be a huge sledgehammer when it comes to being a tool. Some of us can have other skills and be just as effective.
Absolutely. I look at the variety of calls that we run as firefighters, from mountain rescues to fighting fires to confined spaces to just helping somebody on a medical call. And we all serve a purpose. We work in a crew of four people, and somebody might bring something better to the table. And I myself, being 5'7", I make a great, what I would call an attic rat. I can climb the ladder and I can get up in between the trusses better than, somebody on my crew that is over 6 feet tall. So I think we find our position and we find what we're good at.
So why does Phoenix Fire need or want to recruit more women?
Well, Phoenix Fire is been one of the leaders as far as the percentage of women that we hire. And I believe the national average is somewhere in the ballpark of 4%. And we are just slightly above it, right around possibly 4.2%. And so I think we've always done a good job hiring females. And over the last year, we've worked hard to put together the Valley Women's Firefighter Society. It's a mentorship group. it's really geared towards anybody, but obviously because women is in our name, that is who we mostly attract. And it really gives females a opportunity to come see what this profession is about and learn what they need to do to be successful early on.
Now, do you have in mind a specific percentage you'd like to see of female firefighters, or is it something a little less concrete than that?
I don't think we have anything that's specific. One of the things nowadays we can look at society and kids that are high school seniors can start to pick their profession. They can take classes. They can get certifications. They can go to schools that are very specific to what it is they want to do with their life. And so I think for us, we try to reach out to girls as young as 14 years old and tell them, hey, you can do this. So I really think it isn't a, you know, it's not a basic standard career that's cut out for every female. But doing what we do, we're giving them the opportunity to figure that out before they completely make the investment.
So how do you actually accomplish this? Do you go to schools? Do you have some sort of a campaign? How are you getting women's attention?
So we're getting women's attention through social media. The fire department has had some other affinity groups for 20-plus years, groups such as Bomberos, J.W. Robinson Society, Firefighters for Christ, and we're all mentorship groups. But we realize that we need to go and recruit women because, like I said, this isn't a standard job that's cut out for every woman. And so I think we're looking for the right person. It's got to be someone that's physically fit, that can work in a male-dominated profession. And so we have been reaching out, holding meetings. We meet three times. We provide opportunities for women to get together three times a month. We train at our Firefighter Ape Gym. That's also another mentorship group that allows women to put turnouts on, work around men, carry heavy things, and kind of just see what is required. And then I think one of our biggest things is that we really reach back into the community and we take a lot of pride in running and participating in camp, public safety camps for the youth, such as Aspire, Camp Franklin. Those give girls as young as 14 years old the opportunity to be around a bunch of firefighters, male and female, do the skills, understand what the tradition is like, and be a part of the family.
Now, without getting into too much sociology here, I noticed that twice you mentioned working in a male-dominated environment. And I'm curious exactly what effect that has. Is it harder? Is it different?
I think, in my own personal opinion, I think it's harder. I think that working in a male-dominated profession, you have to be able to pull your weight, and you want everybody to know that you can pull your weight. There's the other side of it from station life. You know, it's about having thick skin and a sense of humor and kind of being the sister. We refer to the fire service a lot as a brotherhood, but we now reference it also as a sisterhood. But they're really, I think there is a very specific challenge to that being the right person and getting along in that atmosphere. And I think by being exposed to some of the things that we do, that's how we allow people to understand exactly what is required and what you have to do.
So without getting too specific, what is required of a woman? I mean, is it different than what's required of a man in the same job?
It is. Well, no, actually, I would say it is not different.
It's a little of both.
It is. It's a little of both. And it really, it's kind of about, you know, fitting in. And I think that the fire service in general, male and female, there's an expectation that goes along with it. And the way that you're successful is understanding the culture and the tradition. And that's why these mentorship groups and the opportunities that the Phoenix Fire Department gives the public, you know, to come right along and understand what we do on a daily basis is important. And that's what helps make people successful.
Fire service jobs at this point involve more EMS than actual firefighting, which is a given. Yep. But at the same time, you do have to possess a certain amount of physical ability. So where I'm going with this is, are there different standards for women than for men, or are they the same?
The standards are exactly the same when it comes to the physical side of this job. The times are the same. The skills required are the same. There's no difference whatsoever.
So a man, for example, doesn't have to worry about a woman being less physically capable at a fire scene.
That is correct. They don't have to worry. And that's where I think it's important that women understand, and why, when I do bring up that it's a male-dominated profession, that's the component that I personally, amongst our mentorship group, that we talk about, you know, carrying your own weight, actions speak louder than words. And those are some of the things that I think it's a natural reaction for sometimes people in this profession, male and female, to question if a female can do the job just as good as a male. However, I think that we also find that there's males that are in our position too, that, you know, maybe they don't weigh a lot. Maybe they're smaller. Maybe their skill set isn't as broad as others. So I think it applies to both sides.
So you've got a female chief there. And of course, we spoke with Mary Camelli from Mesa. Mm-hmm. Do you think that having female leadership gives a good example for girls who might be looking at this and originally may have thought it's a fireman, to now see that there are actually women in charge?
I do. I think that when you see women in leadership, and we see it all over, not just in public, you know, not just for us in the fire service, we even see it with our police chief here in the Valley. I think that kind of inspires youth that they can do whatever they set their mind to.
All right, Rita Bigler, thanks for joining me on Code 3 this week.
Thank you very much.
Hey, here's some news. You can get our brand new app for this podcast. It's available for Android phones right now, and the app for iPhones is coming very, very soon. Go to the Google Play Store and download the free Code 3 app so you won't miss an episode. And this week we also heard from a listener. Jared is 10 years old. He said he heard about Code 3 from his older brother and he really enjoys it. Here's what he said. All of your podcasts I listened to so far are great. The one I like the most so far is the one where you had firefighter paramedic Conrad Jackson on the show. I love the history that he told about the Prescott Fire Department. Thanks, Jared. I like Conrad a lot, too. And Jared left us a 5-star review on iTunes. Feel free to do the same thing. It'll help people find us. That's it. That's all for this week. I'm Scott Orr. I hope you'll join me again next week on Code 3. Until then, see ya.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.